It is Wednesday, August the 5th. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast, brought to you by patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. My name is Eddie Lindenstein, and I am the host, and I am recording from my new, my new microphone. It's one of the types that actually clips to the desk, this new desk that I've created. I'm here actually recording a video to do this podcast on Patreon. So we'll see how the audio turns out. I've got to do some post-production stuff that I'm not used to since I moved into the garage, just around eliminating some of the hum that you may or may not hear, but it's the freezer that's right next to me in the garage. So nevertheless, if you are a patron of the podcast, thank you so much for being a part of the show and supporting the show. It wouldn't be possible without you, so thank you to all the patrons of the podcast. It's going to be a relatively short podcast today. I'm going to go pick up my daughter in a little bit, and we're sort of in between interviews airing. I've got two or three that are sitting ready to air, actually three. We've got a recovery story in Europe. We've got a doctor of psychology, who actually teaches in the United States. He's a professor in the United States. Then we also have a physical therapist that is out in Colorado that is waiting to air. So today is almost going to be like a sales pitch, if you will. I got the idea from the Thrive and Survive thing that Dr. Hanscom had created, which I've gotten so many requests for that I've probably shipped 100 of these out now via email for people to view. But if you haven't gotten it yet, just send me over an email, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com, and I will get you a copy of it. It's called Thrive and Survive, but it's essentially a blueprint that Dr. Hanscom has generously put together and allowed me to give to my podcast listeners on COVID. And essentially, it's basically a guide that to put you in the best position to not catch COVID, meaning making your nervous system as strong as possible. And then the second part of it is really making it so that you will be armed with the greatest possible chance of getting through COVID without long-lasting residual symptoms. So there's a couple different ways of looking at it. And I wanted to start with one of the things that he posted about threat. I was having a text conversation with a friend of mine a little while ago, and the day camp that her child goes to has had a potential positive test, somebody that's going off and getting tested now. Now, as a reminder, I have been tested, and a lot of people have been tested. I'm not even sure what the positive rate is, but at this point in time, at least in our part of the country, pretty much anybody can go and get tested really for just about any reason. And the actual positive rate versus test rate it's very low. The odds of actually having it are very low. And actually, funny story, my boss, his kid got it. They live together. He started experiencing symptoms after his kid had gotten the diagnosis. And so my boss went and got tested. Results came back negative, and very quickly his symptoms had vanished. And so if you want to talk about a product of the mind, that is absolutely a product of the mind. And then also the mother of a friend of my daughter had gotten diagnosed, and she had a lot of symptoms. Her son didn't catch it. Her daughter didn't catch it. Her husband didn't catch it. But for whatever reason, they were all living together, and she caught it. So the first part of this that Dr. Hanscom was talking about in the document that really jumped out at me was this concept of threat. So let me read this to you. Threat. Any mental or physical threat, perceived or real, is going to be met with a defensive response from your body. Much of this is mediated through the vagus nerve at the core of the autonomic nervous system. The response is the well-known fight, flight, or freeze reaction. We are all familiar with the physical manifestations of increased heart rate, sweating, muscle tension, elevated blood pressure. But what you may not know is that the immune system also gets fired up and mobilizes many types of cells that fend off predators such as bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells. The result is inflammation, where the warrior cells exit the bloodstream through widened openings in the vessels to destroy the invaders, the antigens. Cytokines, and there's a lot of about cytokines, and we know what the news has talked about, which is cytokine storm is basically what's going on with COVID. And Dr. Hanscom talked a lot about cytokines, but cytokines are small proteins that are switches that activate or deactivate this response. Threats come in many forms. They also activate pro-inflammatory cytokines. Physical threats include allergens, parasites, bacteria, viruses, like the coronavirus, lions, tigers, bears, and people we perceive as dangerous. Lions, tigers, and bears. He should have put, oh my, that would have made it even better. But less obvious, but even more inflammatory, are mental threats. So listen to that again. Less obvious, but even more inflammatory are mental threats, because we can't escape them physically. They create a sustained inflammatory response that forms the basis for chronic mental and physical disease. Examples of mental threats are memories, negative thoughts, suppressions, repressions, insecurities, cognitive dissertations, and loss of life perspective and purpose. So I want to put a couple scenarios, I want to float a couple scenarios out there for you. Think about how many times you've had an argument with a spouse or a friend or somebody, and you almost like walk around for a few days and you have this imaginary argument in your head about that experience that you just went through. You continue having that argument and you're trying to win that argument over and over again. And sometimes it's almost like you're crazy. If you're out on a walk, you might even be talking out loud, trying to win that argument. When really it's just continuing to amp you up. And it is that mental threat that they're talking about in the document. So there was a situation not long ago where my oldest daughter got in an argument with the neighbor kid who is a year older than her. And the neighbor kid, my wife went out and talked to her because the neighbor kid was just pacing back and forth, talking to herself, having this argument with herself. And it goes into fair depth about what it is she was arguing about, but she wasn't arguing to anybody. So there was this mental inflammatory response that was going on over and over. And I shouldn't be laughing because it's not funny, but we all do it. It's something that we all do. And so being able to just recognize that what is, and there's not really a whole lot you can do about it. This was what I pointed out to that friend of mine who's the day camper kid goes to had somebody that's going out and getting tested. So she had said that, they can be worried or they should be worried or something like that. And I had said, it's not really doing you a lot of good to be worried, because if you have it, you have it. And really that's it. Odds are that you're not going to have it, even if that person does have symptoms. So what is worrying about it really going to do? And so Dr. Hanscom's document, and it's not just with him, and I'm sure he would say, a lot of other people help me with this, but Dr. Hanscom's document is something that puts a lot of emphasis on this. And so the other thing that I wanted to talk about was, let's see if I can search for it here. And remember, bear with me, this is a brand new microphone. I've used the same microphone for 3 years, and I think I didn't pay much for it. And so having a cool microphone like this, I actually just learned that my recorder has some included preamps, and it's got phantom power, and it's got all these cool things. I mean, I paid a lot for it, so it should have a lot of things that it can do. Dr. Hanscom makes a pitch for exercise. He says overall, he lists a ton of things that you can do to help best prep your nervous system and then also be able to ward off some kind of a threat if you do catch COVID. But overall physical conditioning, as long as it does not perform too close to bedtime. That's something he talks about a lot in here. So exercise very early in the morning. That's what I do. I get up and it's the first thing I do before I do anything else is I go down and I lift weights in the garage gym, which is right behind me from where it is here that I record. And if I'm on an off day or a rest day, sometimes I go out and do a super long walk. Just something to get going in the day. But I'm a huge proponent for exercise. This podcast is called the Mind and Fitness Podcast for a reason. And so here's what he has to say about exercise. Regular exercise improves almost every aspect of your life, including sleep. Activities can involve aerobics, resistance training, or both. However, per the sleep hygiene principles, intense exercise should not be performed in the evening. If you must exercise later in the day, keep it light and relaxing, otherwise you will trigger an adrenaline response, which greatly disturbs sleep. The key to incorporating exercise into your life is to select an activity you enjoy from the start. Exercise is a long-term commitment, and it is important to have fun while you do it. It's easy to look at your exercise equipment at home and feel bad that you aren't using it more than you should. But those are thoughts that are counterproductive to your healing. That's why I strongly encourage my patients to exercise outside their homes. If you reframe exercise as a reward comprised of leaving the house and moving your body, you're more apt to keep it up. Remember, exercise should be fun. Invite a friend to join you, take a neighbor's dog for a walk, accompany a grandchild to the park, join a local team. All of these activities allow you to connect not only with your body, but also with your community. The experience of connection in itself promotes a feeling of safety and lowers inflammatory cytokines. So there's a couple of ideas that I have that relate to this. So I am a big fan of working out in my garage because it's where all my equipment is. However, there is a decent amount of time to which I will take equipment elsewhere or I'll go find a workout to do elsewhere. I'll give you some examples. So my old high school has big like running steps. I guess you wouldn't call them running steps, but kind of like stadium steps, basically. It leads down to the practice field where the soccer team and the football team would play. And sometimes in the past, this is actually a big part of my shoulder rehab when I had surgery, but I would go to this place and I would literally for 1 hour run up the stairs slash walk up the stairs, run down the stairs slash walk down the stairs. And I would try to hit about 200 floors or 200 flights in that span of time. And it's something completely different. It will wear you out. It's free. It doesn't require any equipment. You're outdoors. You're outside. You're getting that fresh air. That can be extremely awesome. Also, just if you have a kettlebell or really any piece of equipment that's easy to move, a jump rope even, just going somewhere else to do it can be really, really fun and sort of break up the monotony. Let's say that you work out 3 days a week. And you're stuck at home because your gym is closed. If you take one of those days per week and just do your activity elsewhere, go drive 5 minutes and go do it somewhere else, that can be really helpful. And one thing that I've really gotten into is I own a one wheel, so it's one of those electric skateboards with a big go-kart tire on it. But I do this with my bicycle too, is that I will open up Google Maps, so maps.google.com, and I will pick several waypoints, because you can pick a destination and then add points in between that. So the starting destination and the ending are always my house. But then I will just pick these strategic routes, and maybe it is 10 miles total, maybe it's 5 miles total, maybe it's 15 miles or 20 miles total. But it's a really cool way for you to be able to see the different sites that maybe you always drive by in your car, but you never actually stop and enjoy because you're in your car and you're racing somewhere. So those are a couple of good ideas to be able to help break up some of this. But I am so pro exercise, and it's made a tremendous change in my life. And I've talked about it a lot recently with the anniversary of the 722, which I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Just ultimately putting yourself in the best position to put your heart in as good a condition as possible. But then also just giving yourself some better conditioning overall. And furthermore, my buddy Ken talks about this, is that if you have worked out and exercised and been physical during the day, it is more prone to make you tired and wear you out for the end of the day. So that when it's time to go to sleep, you're not super hyper, especially if you did that exercising early in the day. You've had a fulfilling day. You've had a lot. I mean, right now, I'm only at 6,300 steps, and I'm going to go get my kids. And so I'm going to get in some more steps and some more activity. And that's what I need to do ultimately. The other thing that's in here that I feel like is pretty darn important, and it's something that I do nightly, is breath work. And he talks about the breath work in here. But really just slow breathing, whether it's or when it becomes in through the nose and out through the mouth, right before you fall asleep, I usually will just do, I don't know, 7 to 10 rounds of very slow, intentional breathing. And you're not looking for any sort of an immediate, sometimes when I used to do stuff like this, I would expect an immediate gratification. Like for instance, I would expect that breath work would immediately end my pain or it was a bust. And for some reason, that was just my thought, my frame of mind for a long time. And when I think about things like exercise, which I've been a part of working out now for, I've been a part of working out for so long, and I never would have expected changes to rapidly come overnight there. So why would I expect it in the form of deep breathing? And so that might be something that you want to try is right before you go to sleep. And again, I'm helping out Paragon Fitness with their product Night Gains, and it has some magnesium in it and some GABA and some melatonin and some B6 and some zinc. You can use the code EddieGains, one word, to get 15% off of that order. So that's something else that I can offer up to you. But all these things sort of go into a ball together. What are the physical things that you can do to really brace yourself for a potential cytokine storm, which could ultimately happen with COVID? And that's really what I'm here to help you with, because the people that are listening to this are people that are worriers and the people that are perfectionists, and they, even if they're indifferent to the pandemic or believe it doesn't exist or want to wear masks, don't want to wear masks, whatever the case is, the fact remains that the best thing that you can do to put yourself in the best position to be okay if something like that happens are the things that I've talked about today. And a lot of it has to do with getting your mind right, expressive writing, and getting really your body right. And that can come in conditioning, doing something challenging, picking something that does challenge you. And there's a lot of ways you can do it. You can go running, you can go hiking. Even if you just want to do some short-term burst, which is usually what I would do, is like a CrossFit workout, I might do 7 to 8 minutes of go, 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 and then it's over. But other people may prefer doing, say you just pick a route near your house that's a mile or 2 miles long, and you sprint as fast as you can for 30 seconds or 1 minute, and then you walk for a minute or 2 minutes, basically double of whatever it was that you just sprinted, and then do it again. You know, you do that for 10 rounds, not only did you just give yourself a tremendous workout and exhausted yourself, but you're only increasing the strength of that heart and that heart muscle, and also just giving yourself something new to try, taking your mind off of whatever sort of problems or things it is that you're typically absorbing your time with. This is a great opportunity to focus on something else. So that is all that I got. I hope the audio is okay. I'm awkwardly sitting a foot or 18 inches apart from my microphone when usually it is right up against my mouth. So we'll see how this goes. Hang with me over the next couple of weeks as I work with my audio software and my mic to make sure that it sounds good for all the listeners. So thanks again for listening to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. My name is Eddie Lindenstein. Take care.